Hello everybody and welcome to this video, which is kindly sponsored by Squarespace. Some of you asked for those Dreadnought Arms Race charts to be put up, so going into the blog section, I can just add a new blog. This is under the article section on the website, and just put in a nice title, and then very easily I can just hit plus, put in a chart block. Now this does require CSV, so get the CSV data, upload it. Obviously that's not a very useful format for me, but I am going to put a title in. This is all just grayscale bar charts, which is not what I want, but once I put my title in, I can switch color palette, switch the X and Y axis, and suddenly the data is all there. But if I update it to, say, a year-by-year value instead of a quarter value, then I remember CSV values always terminate in their lines in a zero, so I just have to quickly update that. But every time I update the CSV data, just hit update confirm, chart is there, and now you can see all that data in a yearly format. And if you want the full quarterly format, well, I just put an image block in, add image, upload the image, and there it is. So you can compare and contrast the two, and obviously I'll add more of the data as I go. And on the chart block, of course, you can see each of the individual years and the individual values just by mousing along, whereas the image is obviously just static. Nice and easy with Squarespace. So if after all these little mini tutorials I've been doing, you think you could build a website for maybe ideally naval history purposes, but you never know, you might want to do it for some other reason, then head over to squarespace.com/Drakenefell. You can get a free trial, and once you're ready, that little link will give you 10% off your first website or domain. So thanks once again to Squarespace for sponsoring the video, and on with the main show. Perhaps unsurprisingly, given that this is a naval history channel, I do occasionally get questions which are emailed involving a photograph of a ship and some variant on, do you happen to know how fast the ship was going at the time? And usually I'm able to reply with an answer that is either very precise, or I'll give an answer that was maybe, let's say, 22 knots plus minus a knot or two. And usually people are like, oh, great, thank you very much. But sometimes people wonder, well, how did you work that out? It's not like there's a speed reading or anything on the photo. So I thought, well, here's an opportunity to talk about how to work out how fast a ship is going if you have a decent photo of it, combined with a little bit of a lesson in naval shipbuilding, which might also have broader implications for other things, but I'm sure those of you who will understand that will pick that up. Anyway, the simple fact is that when a ship moves through the water, it displaces water. Well, that's part of the reason why it's called displacement, but as well as physically just displacing water to float, obviously a ship displaces the water where it is. If it moves to somewhere else where it isn't, there's water there. That water has to get shoved out of the way. That water has to go somewhere, because water is, for most purposes in shipbuilding and ship navigation, incompressible. And that's expressed as the ship's bow wave. Now, going back to physics, high school physics generally, a wave is not just a one-time thing. Yes, you get the bow wave, that's the most prominent part of the wave, that's the most energetic part of the wave, but waves follow a general sine curve as they gradually run out of energy. And such is the case with the bow wave. The bow wave expresses itself initially right on the ship's bow, but also the ship's wake is caused by the bow wave. So if you've ever been along a river, and there's wake-limiting factors that say, you know, reduce your speed to 5 knots, well, that's because of the bow wave, because the bow wave kicks up a wave, that wave projects out in an approximate V shape, and as it projects further and further away from the ship, it changes terminology from bow wave to wake, but it's pretty much the same thing. And of course, the faster you move through the water, and the more water you displace, so it's a correlation between both speed and size of the ship, that bow wave is going to have more energy, therefore it's going to displace more water, therefore the bow wave and thus the wake is going to be larger. But since, as we said, we have a sine wave here going on, you end up with this sine wave pattern running down the side of the ship, which is also why if you pass a ship and you get rocked about by its wake, you don't just get hit once, you get hit once by the biggest wave, but then you get hit by a number of secondary waves, as you can see in this diagram. But what's all this got to do with speed, other than, you know, wave gets bigger, wave gets smaller? You know, we're not going to be measuring the height of a particular wave and trying to correlate that to work out speed. Well, that's true, but fortunately, the wave length is proportional to the speed. And of course, if we have a unit of length, like, I don't know, say the length of a ship, which is known, we can cross-correlate that. So as it turns out, there is actually a formula. Now, of course, this formula is for a standardized moving body. So there will be some minor variations caused by various complex factors, which are beyond the scope of this particular video to discuss. But outside of absolute extreme circumstances, generally speaking, this formula will hold true and will be accurate to within a knot or two. And usually it'll be accurate to the exact knot, as long as you do the measurements right. So as you can see here, here's the profile, the wave profile in question, as it gradually dies away. And this is all taken, incidentally, from the book Fundamentals of Construction and Stability of Naval Ships, which was a textbook for people at the US Naval Academy, and for all I know, may well still be. So, pretty authoritative. In any case, it says, the relationship, that is, the relationship between the length of the wave, the velocity of the wave, etc., can be expressed as L, that's the wave length, is equal to 0.557 V squared, where L is the length in feet, and V is the absolute velocity in knots. Now, going back to high school physics again, the wave length is the distance between two corresponding elements of the wave. Now, technically, you can measure that at any point on the wave, but because obviously amplitudes differ and so forth, it's usually best to measure from the extreme points, either a trough to trough or a peak to peak. And yes, for those of you who are long-time viewers, I have covered this in part in a video about 2-3 years ago, but I thought I'd do this one as a standalone, as a nice easy reference for people who want to calculate speed of various vessels. And the useful thing you might have noticed from that formula is that, of course, L, the wavelength, is dependent purely on the constant 0.557 and V squared, the velocity, i.e. the speed in knots. It's not actually dependent on the ship itself. So we don't have to draw up different speed tables for different ships. We can just run the equation once and create a nice table like we see here. And I've rounded to the nearest whole foot because, let's face it, we're not measuring with anything much more precise than that in these circumstances. And it makes it look a little bit neater. But that gives us half of the reference. So now we need the other half, which is the ship itself and what wavelength it's displaying. So we're going to use this rather nice picture of HMS Renown operating in the Mediterranean in World War II, because as you can see, she's moving through very calm water and there's a rather obvious set of waves and troughs along her side. Now, of course, this is where some professional judgment comes in, because there is always going to be some interference from the sea. So as you can see, it's not a very, very nice and clean sine wave, but there is a fairly obvious peak initially up near the bow. Then you've got the two troughs, and then you've got this kind of rather messy rising peak suggesting either interference from another nearby ship or from the sea conditions. But you can estimate roughly where the center of that peak is. And in this case, as you can see, I've chosen to measure from peak to peak and trough to trough according to my estimations by eye of roughly where those points are. Because obviously two sets of measurements, if they're both completely different from each other, then that suggests at least one, possibly both, are wildly out. But in this particular case, when I did them by pixel count with the original photo, each of those green lines was within almost exactly 10 pixels of each other. One was 610 pixels long, the other was 621 pixels long. So we can take, let's say, 615 as an average, but that does suggest we're looking at a consistent wavelength. So we can then transcribe one of those, let's say we'll take the trough line markings, onto this rather nice side profile plan. And we know that Renown overall, as in the total length from furthest forward to furthest aft points, is 794 feet. And then, again, just using various measuring tools, you can use a pixel count or whatever, gives us this green line's dimension as about 42%. Of the overall length of the ship. So 42% of 794 is a fraction over 333 feet. So if we refer to our handy pre-made table, we can see that 333 feet sits rather nice and neatly between 24 and 25 knots. which is quite handy because we know that obviously Renown could go considerably faster than that, which means we're not looking at an unrealistic speed. So that's an additional nice little verified check. And that means we can say that this photo of Renown shows her doing about 24 to 25 knots. So that's a nice little point of reference, and it is actually also quite an important way of demonstrating what these photos that include the bow wave, thanks to perspective, can actually tell us, because, of course, in this picture, Renown isn't really emitting all that much in the way of smoke, whereas in some other pictures of other ships, they're emitting huge amounts of smoke, and it might be whipping away from them very quickly. But just because a ship is emitting a large amount of smoke doesn't mean it's going fast. And in this case, just because it's not emitting much in the way of smoke doesn't mean it's going slow. So you can get some very impressive photos of ships perhaps on trials with huge amounts of smoke going and massive waves smashing across the bow because they're in a rough sea state. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going 30 plus knots. This, however, this waveform is dictated by physics. And as we said, outside of exceptional circumstances, that doesn't really change. And you can use this on pretty much any ship where you have a decent idea of where the crest and the trough is. Now, of course, that does mean you have to have either a photo taken close and horizontal, like this one of the California, in very calm seas, because obviously, again, here, the positions of the peaks and the troughs are very, very obvious. And of course, you have to have a side view plan that you can scale from. But if you can get higher elevation shots, that will often show things a lot more clearly. Of course, if a ship isn't going particularly fast or is stationary, then you're not going to have these waves, which means that obviously this technique is only really useful for telling you how fast a ship is going if it is actually moving at an appreciable speed, let's say above 10 knots or something like this. Now, those photos are relatively ideal conditions, whereas this photo of the Maryland on her speed trials is a little bit harder to work out. You can probably see, if you look carefully, the profile of the bow wave is still there, but it's being quite heavily interfered with by the general sea state. So you've got lots of little peaks and troughs. But in this particular case, in case you're interested, of course, the peak of the bow wave is just behind the bow. That's fairly easy to see around about where the anchors are. The secondary peak, so the one that you'd be referencing from, is around about between the two funnels, a bit more towards the first funnel than the second. And you can correspond that with where the troughs are. So the baseline of the trough is just forward of the superfiring turret, so roughly where the rangefinder or the back of the rangefinder is on the forward turret. And the secondary trough is actually in almost exactly the same corresponding position aft, just below the rangefinders on the rearmost main gun turret. If you have some kind of graphic software that you can use to overlay an actual sine curve, that's quite useful because obviously you can pick somewhere very obvious like the absolute peak of the first wave at the bow and overlay that, and that'll give you the locations obviously relatively accurately as well. And you can have other cases like this shot of USS Boston. This time the sea is quite calm, and so theoretically ideal photo conditions. But as you can see, we've got the bow wave peaking just behind the bow, fairly obviously. There's a very obvious first trough around about where the foremast is between the bridge and the fore funnel. But then, as you can see, it rises again, and you're only just about getting the second peak right towards the stern, actually aft of the main armament. And in some other pictures, particularly of things like destroyers or smaller cruisers that are going faster than 30 knots, at some points the second peak is actually beyond the stern and the trough is going to be about two-thirds of the way down the ship. So in those cases, you have to take the peak to trough and then double it to get the wavelength. And of course, that does introduce a small margin of error, which is why I say this will give you an idea of what the ship's doing roughly to within a knot or two of what it is actually doing, but it's a very handy way of working out speed of ships based purely on a photograph, as long as the ship was moving at a reasonable enough speed and the perspective of the photograph was high enough given the sea state. So, hope you found that useful. See you again in another video.